Welcome to Warn Radio. Warn Radio. With your hosts, the Watchman Dana Smith and Tower. Thanks for listening.
Greetings and welcome to Warn Radio Battle Lines. I am Tower and we are glad you joined us. Warn Radio Battle Lines broadcast is not a call-in show. We feature an in-depth Bible study each week. And all correspondence and inquiries of broadcasts of the WIBR Warn Radio Network can be sent to us through our contact page on warn-usa.com. Today is October 10th, 2019. It's Thursday. And the readings in the Word this week are found in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 1 through 52. 2 Samuel 22, 1 through 51. And the New Testament portion is John chapter 20, verses 1 through 31. And also Romans chapter 10, verses 14 through chapter 11, verse 12. Be sure to read the featured articles by the Watchman. They're very important to read and pass along to your friends and relatives. This week we feature Christian Faith versus Frailties, Fiction, and Failure. Frailties of our own making by our own hands have made society its own worst enemy. What makes it worse is the dark and gloomy reports coming from social media, Hollywood, and the news, and the news networks. True to form, it can be stated in the Nations of Men, we are our own worst enemy. It's up to us to show the Lord's strength and redemption to this generation, taking this truth, revealing it to everyone that is to come. Also, enemies of the cross of Jesus Christ. Enemies of the cross exist, even in America today, the tide of immorality floods the nation of men. In addition, the rise of Christian persecution brings to forefront the Gospels, which warned us that the world would hate the cross and the Christians who follow Jesus Christ. There is hope and a message. In this, let us focus. And you can read those articles by going to warn-usa.com. Also, danaglennsmith.com. Be sure to follow us on Blog Talk at Warn Radio Visions on Blog Talk. We're also on Blueberry, iHeartRadio, iTunes 1 and 2, Spreaker, Stitcher, TuneIn, Warn Radio on Acast. The shows are also on Facebook and Google Play Music. And tonight on our show, it's Shake the Heavens, Isaiah's Prophetic Book, Part 20. Shake the Heavens, Isaiah's prophetic book, now continues with the judgment on Babylon. It is today as it was then. Nations of men do not fear the Lord. That is until it is too late. Again and however, if those people find the Lord and repent, this changes it. While the day of the Lord comes shaking the heavens and the earth, it will certainly awaken you. And now I welcome in the Watchman. Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
Well, I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Doing good.
Well, you know, the thing of it is that we go through this menagerie of vanity that we see going on in America today with politics and everything.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, Trump was announcing, of course, he was talking about going to Minneapolis. Well, see, he had a big rally in Minneapolis the last time he ran. And, of course, he was announcing it today. And so the liberal mayor and the liberal people there in Minneapolis where he was going, well, the first thing they did was stop the rentals of all the electric little motorcycle things that apparently were there. But there was a number of other things they did to try to hamper the fact that he was coming in and they were going to have a big rally. But the thing of it is, I just got off of our Instagram account. Of course, we follow a lot of the Trump White House and everything like that. And we have a lot of people that put stuff on our Instagram thing that are real important in the news today. At any rate, they showed a live video of the crowd, massive crowd for Trump tonight in Minneapolis. Massive.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And as the camera was spanning, they were cheering and yelling, and you know, you know, it was just amazing. And of course, you know, the thing of it is, all the Democrats talk impeachment, all the liberal media talks impeachment. Everybody, you know, really, the liberal, and I've read a number of stories even today, how in the times past, the liberal media, like, for instance, NBC, wouldn't run a particular story because it might hinder the chances of one of the people who was running at the time. I won't tell you her name, but she ran against Trump. So they didn't run it. But see, if there was a story that hinders Trump, they will run it. And this is what Trump's been up against. Even Chuck Woolery has been an ardent supporter, you know. And it's an amazing thing, you know. And he says he's a fighter. And he was talking on Instagram today how much of a fighter he is. The Republicans, he says, don't do that. But Trump does.
No.
And so this is the difference. This is the difference. And so it is an amazing thing how things are going. And it's humorous when you look at it. Now, of course, who was it today? Oh, yeah, Baldwin. Oh, Alex Baldwin, who doesn't even deserve a mention here, but except for his hatred. This is a guy that, you know, in some of the stuff that he acted in was pretty good. However, this is a guy that is absolutely today off his rocker in full of hate and disdain for Trump. And, you know, he's not the only one. There's a lot of Hollywood that are off their rockers. And what I tell Trump is keep doing it, because as far as Hollywood goes, I don't watch anything much from Hollywood. In the old days, you know, even John Wayne, there was a bunch of liberals that want to do away with John Wayne because it reveals white privilege. This is all these nuts out here today. And even that Greta Thunberg, you know, that little white gal that was talking about climate change, they were even coming against her because she's white and you can't listen to her because it's white privilege. You know, these people are so full of that brown stuff. It's just not funny. But see, all of this speaks of judgment.
They're white. Yeah, you're right. It does speak of judgment. And these people that are saying all this stuff are white, against the whites. There's people that, like one of those guys in Washington running said there's, I don't know if it was Sanders or Biden or some one of them, that talked against the white people. And you're white. What are you doing? Are you crazy?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, if you think that a brown race or a yellow race or some ethnic race or whatever you might think is the thing that's going to save you, you're full of doo-doo. Because anytime you start raising up the races of men and you start raising up colors and you start taking the blacks, for instance, and lifting them up on a pedestal, or the Indian or Mexican or anybody else, you're in trouble. Because it is not humans that are going to save your butt. It's going to be the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And unless you repent and believe on him, you're going to be in trouble. And as far as humanness and who we are and what we are, there's a God that's in charge today. And no man is going to take you out of his hand. So a lot of this is vanity, it's foolishness, it's sin, and it continues, and it's not going to go away. So you need to look to the Lord and focus your eyes. I've got a new article coming out. You need to be reading these articles. You need to be following us. You need to be telling people about what we do. But the bottom line of it is that, you know, as, of course, this article, you need to read it because I do have a couple of words in there you need to hear. So other than that, I'm about ready to start this.
Okay. I will see you on the other side.
Okay. Well, we are in Isaiah's prophetic book, part 20. Now, the little subtitle of this is Shake the Heavens. And, you know, when you do read in the Gospels, Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, among all the other scriptures and places you can look, you will find the shaking, the trouble. Now, in Isaiah's day, it wasn't the end of the world, but it seemed like it. Now, we've been discussing the judgment on Babylon. And we've been discussing, of course, Isaiah, the first 10 chapters. Actually, you have a little bit of a break in there talking about the Messiah, the Messianic kingdom. And, of course, the first portion of the book discusses Judah and the sins, and with an interspersing of some references to the Messiah. However, we get into Isaiah 13, and this is verse 9. And it says, "Behold, the day of the Lord comes, or cometh, both cruel with wrath and fierce anger, to lay the land desolate, and he shall destroy the sinners out of it. For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine." Now, you know, it's an interesting phrase, this particular verse. Because if you're discussing Babylon and the absolute destruction of Babylon, physical Babylon, in the time of Isaiah, would the stars of heaven fall? And would the constellations not give their light? Would the sun be darkened and the moon would not shine? Now, when we're dealing with the day of the Lord, as far as the end of time, Scripture does tell this us indeed, that the stars of heaven, the whole heavens, will roll up like a curtain. There's a lot of prophetic references to the sun being darkened and the moon being darkened, also the moon turning to blood. We recently, 2014, 2015, had a double blood moon. We had them that occurred during the spring feast and the fall feast. Both of those were very prophetic. We talked about what this represented, and it did represent a very important event. And that event was the fact that Isis went through and shed a lot of blood when they did, and it became one of the bloodiest, gory messes that we have had in recent memory upon people, especially Christians, who were slaughtered there. But the Yazidis were slaughtered as well. Now, see, in the earth, it gets so bad, eventually, the Lord is coming, of course, and he says, unless the days are cut short, no flesh would be left alive. That's how dangerous it's going to be. And we're talking about the day of the Lord. We are in the end of days. There's a lot of things that are happening right now. Is the day of the Lord going to happen tomorrow? No, not at all. But it's coming. But when we talk about the day of the Lord, and when we talk about judgment that happens, even in the time of Israel, this thing is so fierce that when it does come, of course, there's the raping, the pillaging, the burning, and the smoke and the dust and the noise and everything could completely blot out heaven. And in the carnage and in the chaos, it would be like heaven no longer exists, that there's nothing left even at night because there's so much carnage, destruction, and darkness. So we can see that in an actual case of war and judgment that is absolutely catastrophic to the point which it is laid upon Babylon. However, we can also look at this very prophetically as well to a forward time. And so in verse 10, when it says the stars of heaven, the constellations should not give their light. Now we're going to go from there. And now we're going to be looking to some New Testament scriptures. And of course, if you're a believer and if you've read the New Testament, then you've read these. But it says, verse 29, immediately after the tribulation of those days. Now, see, the first thing you run into in our day and age is the fact that many of the church, especially in America, believes the tribulation is going to be 7 years. There's nowhere in Scripture that it says that plainly. Many of the professors regarding prophecy, including the ones that have a PhD in it, have decided that the 70th week of Daniel tells us there's going to be 70 years. There's no proof to that at all. Matter of fact, I've covered that myself with a number, one in particular, a doctor of theology that was fluent in three biblical languages. And as we discussed the 70th week of Daniel, he said there's no connection that he can see to Revelation and to the tribulation. Nevertheless, whether you believe that or not, it doesn't matter a whit to me at all. The fact of it is, we do know what the Bible does say. And it's in your face that when we see the son of perdition, or that's as Paul calls him, now, many people make the son of perdition and the beast in Revelation 13 as into two separate individuals. They're not. They're the same one. Now, Paul describes him as the son of perdition to describe what he does, the destroyer, destruction, leading people into destruction. The beast signifies his roots, relating him directly to the beast, the dragon, Satan himself. Now, immediately after the tribulation, when this particular dark one, as I call him, appears, it tells us quite plainly that there are a certain number of days which are equivalent to 3.5 years. Now, there is a difference when we look at the time, and half a time. So I'm not going to get into that. But many attribute that to some other things that are going to be going on at the time, the difference between what Daniel says and what we see in Revelation. Nevertheless, some of the language that, a lot of the language that John uses is amazingly similar, and the Gospels too. And so all of these, you know, these apostles were reading the same imagery and the same things. And they found it, of course, in the prophets. Matthew 24:29-31, it says, immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken. Now, see, that's imagery, the same imagery. But when we look at Isaiah's day and how he puts it, I mean, we're talking about a massive destruction of the magnitude that nobody was able to defeat Babylon at the time until Medo-Persia came along. But Medo-Persia, and of course, this we talk of Cyrus, who is the appointed one, God's anointed for the time, who actually made it possible for the Jews to return and commanded them to do so and build the temple, return to the land. So there is God working in this, and we see this. But yet the type and the prophecy of this leads us to look forward into the New Testament as well. In verse 30, it says, "And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven, and then shall all the tribes of the earth mourn, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the hot clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of the heaven to the other." Now, there's a lot of prophetic issues that we read here in verses 30 and 31 in Matthew 24, none of which I'm going to really get into real deeply here. But the fact of the matter of it is, right here we see that it was after the tribulation that everything begins to happen as far as the heavens in a real way. Now, there are signs in the heavens that'll happen before that. But this is totally different. The sun will be totally dark and the moon will not light. The stars will literally fall from heaven and the powers of heaven shall be shaken. Now, there are other imagery written in scripture that tells us that the heavens will roll up like a curtain. And then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. This is him returning. Now, of course, as far as the modern church goes, we have a pre-trib, mid-trib, and post-trib. And many of Christianity, much of Christianity in America, those who adhere to the pre-trib rapture. Well, if you put it in context with a lot of what we have written, there's a lot of issues here as far as conflict. Nevertheless, I don't go with any of them. I know the Lord's coming. It says he's coming, and this is when he's coming, and that seals it for me. I don't really worry about it. Some people live and die with the pre-trib rapture. Well, you better have a lot of faith, because if it don't come when you think the Lord needs to come, you're going to be in trouble here. And so it's going to be the sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And of course, the sign of the Son of Man in heaven is in Scripture. It's in the Gospels, and you can find it there. And that's really the sign we look for. And, of course, when they see him, this is the same group that's going to see him that's listed in Revelation when they say, "Hide us from him who sits upon the throne, for the day of his wrath has come." So, and it's going to be here that they're going to gather the saints. Now, here it says elect, but it's the same thing. Now, in Revelation 6, 12 through 17, says, "And I beheld when he opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. The stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree catches her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and great men, the rich men, the chief captains, the mighty men, and every bondman, every free man, hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sits upon the throne, from the wrath of the Lamb. For the day of his great wrath is come, and who shall stand?" Now, when we're discussing the day of the Lord can exactly represent the Matthew 24 and Revelation, the very end when the Lord comes. But it can also represent that day when the Lord's wrath and when his warnings have come to the point where he sends judgment upon a nation. In this case, it's a nation state called Babylon, which, although it is a state and not an actual nation, it has rule, power, and authority over a vast land area. Very, very powerful. Nobody wanted to tangle with them. And, of course, they had a lot of commerce going in and out of their city as well. So not everybody was an enemy of Babylon. There was a lot of people that were, they did a lot of things there. Even the Jews that went into captivity, there was a lot of them that got mixed up into Babylon itself and stayed there and lived there. And there were some that never did go back. And of course, this is one thing. When the judgment came on Babylon, the Lord said, "Flee Babylon and let Jerusalem come to mind," speaking to the Jews. But when we see this and we talk about this particular wrath, this day of the Lord, it's not to be taken lightly. Now, of course, living in modern society, very few times have we seen in our lifetime the extent of the day of the Lord occur. Now, when ISIS went through the Middle East, the extent of that bloodshed, that was pretty severe. But this particular day of the Lord phrase represents, and it's directly given by the prophet himself. So this is serious business, and this is not the only time Isaiah is going to be issuing forth a declaration against a Gentile nation. And of course, that leads me also to mention when people talk about it. And that is the fact that, you know, almost all the world knows what Israel did. In the end, after Solomon, it was divided in two houses, the house of Judah, the southern tribes, and Israel, or the northern tribes, or Ephraim. And so you had the 10 tribes of the north, and you had Judah and Benjamin, which were two tribes, and they had the Levites, which was not a tribe, but the ministers, whose inheritance was of the Lord, was in Jerusalem in the southern kingdom of Judah. And when judgment came, it came to both houses, the northern tribes first, and then Judah, because they had forsaken the Lord God. Now, it was Judah that was actually brought back into the land after 70 years, but the northern tribes never did have a chance to come back into the land. Some of them stayed in the land and were in the land, but a lot of them were carried captive and intermingled with the nations. Nevertheless, as we look at this, understand that this day of the Lord was redemptive in the aspects of what it was meant to do, because the Lord had to redeem Judah. There was a lot of prophecies, a lot of things that were going to be going through, and namely through David, because Yahshua, who came, is the greater son of David. He's the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He's the root of David. And it was, he is the one is coming again as the warrior king, the greater son of David, Yahshua. And he is going to come as Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He's the Word incarnate. And he will rule and reign on the throne of David for 1,000 years. This is the fulfilled prophecy. Now, this is directly, you know, as we look at it, considering all this. Now, it's an amazing thing to see that here when Isaiah gave all this, the imagery and the stuff that he had seen can be projected so far out into our day and age. And even we haven't even reached the point to which he fully projected it, because we've never in our lifetime seen it to where the sun is absolutely dark and the moon is not giving her light. At the same time, the stars are falling from heaven and the powers of heaven shaken, where everything rolls up like a scroll. We haven't seen that, but that's how far, when we look at this and we see the imagery and we see the types here, we can see this in the future of this particular type. It's an amazing thing to see that. And to see that God, indeed, of course, called the end from the beginning. And in verse 11, it even ties it in for this. Now, see, understand this. Isaiah, prophesying about Babylon, the destruction of Babylon, and there's a lot of, we're not done with this. We have a lot more of this later on in the book, but you know, God tells them to flee Babylon. You know, he's speaking locally, but yet the day of the Lord comes upon, you know, Babylon there in the time of Isaiah, you know, its future. Isaiah's prophesying this ahead of time. But he sees this. But as I said, we can see this far in advance because, see, this is what he says after verse 10. He says, and I'll punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity, and I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and I'll lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. Now, you see, God is dealing with Babylon because of their evil and their wicked ways. For their iniquity, they ascribed all of their victory, including over Israel, due to their own God. And they're very proud and arrogant before God, because God can't bring them down, of course. They don't see an end to their kingdom. But in fact, in one night, Babylon fell, and they fell to Medo-Persia. And in the same instance, as we say this, you know, Isaiah is using terminology, I will punish the world for their evil. This is God's basis. You know, this is the Lord. He doesn't put up with evil. He won't put up with iniquity. He's not going to allow fleshly pride to rule everything. He is going to bring it to an end. He's going to stop it. And he's eventually going to have his kingdom. He's going to, you know, create his own kingdom. I mean, he will have the world. He will have the heavens. He will have it the way he wants it. He will have a people who have honored his name, who has received his son, and who has honored the gospel. And that's exactly what he's going to have. And so within this, this is to all men everywhere. It's not just locally as in Isaiah, but this is to everyone. This is to America. This is to Russia. This is to China. God is going to bring down China. God is going to bring down North Korea. He's going to lay low Russia. And of course, you know, right now we have a lot of things going on. And that's the fact that Erdogan moved into Syria. But before he did it, he had a meeting. And of course, we talked about that. There was a meeting with Iran, Russia, and Erdogan all at the same time. And of course, you have Jordan and you have Lebanon. You have a lot of other players in there that really aren't getting involved in this. But Russia is buddies with Iran. At the same time, Russia is buddies with Erdogan. But see, you have... Syria, Erdogan moving in, he's been warned to stay out of there by Assad and his cohorts. Even Iran don't want him in there. But yet, the bottom line here is that this particular partnership with Russia and Erdogan and others is going to be seen again, because they are going to go after Israel eventually. So a lot of this stuff that we're seeing are things that are going to be happening. And so we're seeing some of this right now. But the judgment, there are other judgments that can happen. God can deal with a nation in a minor way without having the day of the Lord. But see, when we use the phrase of the day of the Lord, it's like final. This is a day that you do not want to happen. And if it does happen, you do not want to be in the nation that it occurs. And I can tell you, folks, when this nation, America, and I've been talking about this for over two decades, and I've said this multitude of times, when I told Tower what was coming to America many, many years ago in the early 70s. You're not going to want to be here. But since then, I've interviewed people that have had visions and dreams. And we've, as well as we can look at it and see it, when this nation falls, you're not going to want to be here. And there's been a lot of warnings that you can go back in to America and about America and about her sin and about her pride and about her arrogancy. And that's where we're at today in America today. At no other time have we been at such a level of disgust, pride, and division as we have today. And we have got people that are full of pride, that are wicked, that would do anything to get rid of the, you know, for instance, President Trump. Do you know, they had he had a group, a black empowerment thing not too long ago. And there was a lot of blacks there, young blacks, and they all love Trump. And one of them happened to be a young lady that was an immigrant. You know, she came from another country and she was a Christian and she wanted to pray for Trump. Pastor Brunson wanted to pray for him. Trump has been prayed by for a lot of pastors, and it's shown on TV. Pence is an open Christian, and so are the others, a number of others in his cabinet as well. And so there are a lot of people that despise Trump just for having a pro-Christian and a pro-Israeli slant. And so there's a lot of hatred and arrogance going on right now. And of course, you're always going to find a lot of that right now. But see, this is the thing that we're getting at. When we read Isaiah, we see reflections in prophecy. We see this thing airing out in our day as well. And this is, you know, when you talk about discussion, now this is in the context of the day of the Lord. He punishes the world for evil, the wicked for their iniquity, and the arrogancy of the proud. And you can find this same idea in other places. God will not allow flesh to triumph and to stand, you know, because flesh is corrupted. God has to redeem his people from this body of death that we all live in. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Now, there is going to be a time when the Lord comes that will be changed if we're alive when he comes. But we must be changed. We can't see him. We can't come to him unless our bodies are changed. See, this is the difference. And so, in verse 13, chapter 13, 12 says, I'll make a man more precious than fine gold. Even a man than the gold wedge of Ophir. And of course, when we look at this, now gold, of course, you know what that is. It's that yellow stuff that everybody loves or would love to have. And Ophir is the nation Solomon traded with to get gold to put in the temple. And it was known for producing some of the finest gold in the world at that time. And they had a big store of it. And so, how bad is the day of the Lord going to be? It's going to be so bad that if men were gold, it would be hard to find one. And when you did, he would be more precious than fine gold. Now, does that sound very nice? No, it doesn't. Now, what does Scripture say? What did the Lord himself say? He said that unless the days are shortened, there will be no flesh left alive. Now, does that make that clear for you? When the Lord comes again, in Revelation it says that he will destroy those who have destroyed the earth. What does that tell you? There are people, there are powers, there are nations that are dead set to get their way and their rule, and they will destroy the earth in order to get it. And if they have to destroy the entire earth in order to cleanse it so they can repopulate it, they will do it. So unless the Lord shortens the days for the elect, and he says he will, there will be no flesh left alive. Now, who would be pushing a thing like that? Satan wants to. You see, we always talk about how powerful the Lord is, and we see about how powerful the darkness is too. And the bottom line of it is that if the demons in hell and all of the wicked spirits out there that serve Satan, if they were able to have their way, they would have killed every man, woman, and child on this earth a long time ago because they hate them. But God has stopped them. They're not able to do it. God does not allow that. Matter of fact, the Lord said, resist the devil and he will flee from you. He said, the devil is a liar and a father of liars and was a liar from the beginning. Now, when we look at this, there will finally come a day, because there's going to be a time of darkness, and there was a time of darkness during the time that our Lord was on this earth, when they came to get him, and even when he was standing before Pilate and the others, that was the time of darkness when he had to go through it. There is a power in a time of darkness that God allows. The Son of Man, the Son of God, went through it to go to the cross. And even today, there are people experiencing the power of darkness in various nations. North Korea is under the power of darkness right now. China is entering another Mao time of darkness right now. There are darkness stretching across many of the nations of men. We have a lawlessness, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the mystery of iniquity. I write about that today. I wrote this article today. You don't understand that this stuff is there, and you're not going to have a way. And just think of this. You know, when God is referring all of this, and we can refer this even to local Babylon, you don't want to, you didn't want to be in Babylon. God didn't want his people in Babylon. He sent them there because of the sins. And the ones that went there are the ones that lived. But there was a lot of the Jews who died because of the sins that they had committed. And I'm talking about the priests. I'm talking about the false prophets. I'm talking about those in the political arena in Judah. There's a lot of them that died. Jeremiah was there when it happened, and yet he lived because he was righteous, and God told him he'd be all right. And so God didn't want the remnant that was in Babylon to stay in Babylon, because he was going to remove Babylon. And Babylon has never been the same since. Now, in the New Testament, we have a mystery Babylon. And we have judgment that's coming. And when we talk about the believers and God's believers, God has always, in the time of the flood, Noah went through the flood, but he was saved out of it because God had placed him in a special place. That's the ark. Lot. God was going to destroy the place where he lived. Yet Lot was removed out of the place through a miraculous appearance of angels at the time. And even in Babylon, these Jews were told well in advance of it ever happened to Babylon. Isaiah prophesied it years before it ever happened. What happened to Babylon? Anybody reading the prophets would have known, reading the writings, they would have known that God would have called them out of there. Verse 13, it says, therefore I will shake the heavens. The earth shall remove out of her place in the wrath of the Lord of hosts in the day of his fierce anger. And, you know, when this is happening, if you're in a battle zone, it will seem like the heavens are shaking and everything's removed out of its place. You know, my dad was a medic in the South Pacific, and he used to tell me stories of all the people he helped. A lot of young men dying and bloody, and there was all laid out, and of course him being a medic, he was there trying to save them, and the doctor came around and there was two of them wounded in the same place, and they were there, and the doc said, this guy's going to die, you can see it in his eyes, he's given up, that one will live. And dad said that's exactly what happened. And see, there was endless blood. It is written that during the time that they went through the South Pacific to try to take those islands, that the Japanese would just come in wave after wave after wave, and you could shoot them down and they would still keep coming. Now, you think a minute. We have got a lot of people today that like to do things, but when God shakes everything. Even the brave men fear. This is no place to be. You know, Scripture tells us to go in and hide ourselves until the indignation be overpast. Because God's anger is for a moment, although it seems like forever. But it, when it comes, and it's coming, and all the people that hate God, and all the people that say he's a God of vengeance, and he just hates everybody, there is going to be a redeemed. He's going to take care of his own, and he's going to make a way for them. Does that mean people may not die for the Lord? No, it's the opposite. Revelation 12:11. The ones in Revelation at the time when all this comes down, the formula is simple, and it says there, and they overcame him, meaning the devil, by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony, and they loved their lives, not unto the death. So God is shaking the heavens. He's shaking the heavens in the time and the earth. I mean, when you have vast armies, you're surrounded. And you think of America for a moment. Vast army coming from the east, crossing the Missouri and the Mississippi. You have another army coming down from Canada, and you have another army coming up through Mexico. There's no place to run, no place to hide. Every crop is burned, every city is pillaged, and everyone is lined up and put in prison, or they're shot and killed. And that's after there's some areas they can't go into because they don't exist anymore. Because there's been a nuclear exchange. Now you think for a minute. If you were in America when a nuclear exchange followed by an invasion in areas occurred, you would think that the end of the world had come. And it shall be as a chaste rose, a sheep that no man taketh up, but they shall every man turn to his own people and flee every one into his own land. Now see, this is what Isaiah is saying about Babylon. Let's see, Babylon of old. They had a lot of people that were doing commerce there. This is common. Almost every city. You know, back then, whether they're in the Mediterranean or wherever they were, even in America when it was established, there was always people doing commerce there, making money, doing things like that. In Mystery Babylon, in Revelation, it'll be the same way. There will be people that'll do business with it. There will be people that have made money, and they will love Babylon. They will like it. They make money. They're doing good. We have a lot of people that come over our borders. And I tell them, don't come. You come here, you're going to die. Why do I say that? Because judgment's coming. And if it comes in the form of the day of the Lord, when the finality happens on this country, you're not going to want to be here. We get that from the biblical imagery of God's judgment. These things are written for us to know this. Where are you going to flee, America? Are you going to go to, everybody going to go to Canada? No, they're not going to let you in. You think the UN's going to help you? They didn't help anybody. They have problems helping anyone, let alone running it right. You're going to go down through Mexico where all the drug runners and everybody else, and then down into Nicaragua and all the other places where you're susceptible to gangs and thieves and crooks. You ain't going to make it. What are you going to do? Get in a boat and cross the ocean? You think everybody across the seas are going to care what happens to America? Uh-uh. A few will mourn, not many. The hard facts is this. You don't want to talk judgment. People don't like judgment. But there's one thing about judgment. When you're dealing with biblical, God-sent, God in, you know, that's it. I'm done. I have called you and you have refused. This is it. Remember telling your kids to do something, they don't do it? And after about the sixth time, you decide to do something to little Johnny and you finally spank him? I remember my dad spanking. He used to tell me, this hurts me more than it does you. Well, that wasn't true, I can tell you. Not from my standpoint, and especially my butt. God doesn't mess around. He has sent his son. He is waiting for you to receive him. There's no reason for you to die and go to hell. There's no reason for you to face judgment. There's no reason at all except your stubbornness and unbelief. So when this stuff begins to happen, all those people that came here to make money and they just love America, where are they going? They're going to run. They're going to go. They're going to be gone. And they'll be glad to leave. You don't want to be there. It's just like Erdogan went across the border today. Of course, he hit Kobani. I covered when ISIS went through the Middle East for, you know, 2014, 2015. I was putting up stuff every day. We had a ton of hits on our site. A lot of people reading. And I followed that every day, all day long. I had reports flowing in. The Turkish army stood. They had all their tanks lined up watching Kobani, waiting for ISIS to destroy the Kurds because Turkey hated the Kurds. They weren't going to go in and help the Kurds. They were waiting for ISIS to destroy them, but ISIS got defeated. Partly because Obama decided to send some bombing missions in to help them. But the bottom line of it is, when everything was said and done, the Kurds were still in Kobani, and they had more of the area, which they call Rojava. They just wanted a nation for themselves, and these Kurds are the ones that came and allowed Christians, Yazidis, and even other Muslims to come to them, and they would protect them. So now Erdogan went across the border. Well, America gives Erdogan F-35s, I think it is, the fighter plane. The Kurds ain't going to be able to do it. And even though we gave them money and weapons, do they have enough planes? No, they don't have enough planes. So what's going to happen? They're going to die. That's what's going to happen. So they were fleeing. That's what I would do. Erdogan wants a place, let him have it. Get out. Go find another place. You don't need to die today. Go somewhere else. Now, see, when judgment happens and when you have the end of the world, one of the things, there will be wars and rumors of wars. Nation will rise against other nations. What part of the end of days don't you understand? And to show you how bad it is when this particular judgment happens, this is why it's so bad. Now, this is the prophecy from the prophet. So everybody's going to be fleeing the land. Verse 15 of Isaiah 13, everyone that is found shall be thrust through. Everyone that is joined unto them shall fall by the sword. Anybody that's on the other side is going to be killed. Goes on to say, their children shall be dashed to pieces before their eyes, their houses spoiled, and their wives ravished. They're going to rape the women. they're going to kill the children, because you don't want the children to live, because they'll grow up to be enemies. That's why they kill the children. Because the children, if they're watched and allowed to be left alive, they will sit there. And if they live, they're going to live for vengeance, and they'll come back and get you. He goes on to say, behold, I'll stir up the Medes against them, which shall not regard silver. As for gold, they shall not delight in it. See, the only thing the Medes cared about was war and killing. It says, their bows shall also dash the young men to pieces, and they shall have no pity on the fruit of the womb. Their eyes shall not spare children. They will kill the children. They will kill the women who are pregnant. Now, folks, this is not a pretty picture. And anybody that tells you this is just mere imagery and is not true is a liar. This is why, when this is going on, you're not looking up to the heavens, even if it's night. Because it is dark, it is dim, and everything's going to hell. Everybody's dying around you. There's smoke everywhere. There's enemy everywhere. It's the end of the world. It's like someone pulled a curtain and pulled you into a new setting. Everything is gone. Everything is upset. Your freeways are gone. Your big cities are gone. There's smoke arising. There's blood in the Missouri. There's blood in the Mississippi. There is no LA. There is no San Francisco. There is no New York. There is no Miami. There is no Chicago. There is no Denver. There is no Phoenix. Why? Because they blew them up. And so you're going to be looking at the stars? No. You're going to try to find a rock to hide under. Now remember who we're talking about. Verse 19 of chapter 13. In Babylon, the glory of the kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees, excellency, shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. And there was fire and brimstone on Sodom and Gomorrah. There wasn't anything left. And it shall never be inhabited, neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation, neither shall the Arabian pitch tent there, neither shall the shepherds make their folds there. Now, this particular verse has been one that many people have had trouble with. But we're coming to the end, so I'm afraid we're going to have to begin there. Next time. Father, thank you for your word. Bless your people as they hear this. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, and receiving of this word. Okay, Tower?
I'm here. Thanks for joining us, everybody. We've got to go, and I'm glad that you're here. And I hope you enjoy this study. It's very enlightening, and may God richly bless you. We love you. We pray for you. We hope the best for you. Good night,
Shalom.
Everybody.
Don't forget our websites, warren-usa.com, danaglensmith.com. Until tomorrow, goodbye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Warren Radio.